This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Right now, we are talking about yet another death in custody. So last Thursday, security guard S. Sivabalan passed away less than 2 hours after being arrested. And this is following on very closely from an earlier custodial death involving A. Ganapathy that we spoke about previously.
And same police station, and which is what has gotten a lot of people talking about. So with this particular incident, Sivabalan, who's 43, was taken in, and it was reported that he suffered breathing difficulties 20 minutes after his arrest. And the official cause of death is reported as a heart attack. And this was concluded after a post-mortem was carried out 1 day after he died. According to Selangor Police Chief Arjunaidi Mohammad, the inspection found no physical injuries on the body. However, various quarters, including people like Klang lawmaker Charles Santiago, have made calls for an inquest to be expedited to make sure that the evidence in this case is preserved in their original form, because there were multiple discrepancies really when it came to how this man had died, the time in which it was reported, how his family was informed, just multiple things that didn't add up.
And I think all of which makes it all the more traumatic, right? It's one thing to have a family member pass away so suddenly. It is quite another to then look through the facts of the case and realize that whether it is where he died and what the death certificate says, whether it's when you were notified, whether it is just, I don't know, you know, all those things I think are even more traumatic, because then you really find that you're at a loss, right, to try to explain this inexplicable thing that has happened. And it is also worth saying that this is happening, like we said, against the backdrop of a very recent case making headlines as well in the same police station, and amidst calls once more for some form of regulation for the IPCMC, for all these things, right, to be put in place, for proper investigations to be put in place. So that's where we find ourselves, and we want to discuss this further. If you have thoughts, send them our way. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to lawyer Datuk K. Ganesh. Datuk Ganesh, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me again.
And like you said, again, right, because barely a month ago we spoke with you about Ganapathy's case, and now we're seeing another death in custody with Sivabalan. How do you feel about this?
Well, how everybody in Malaysia feels: sad, distraught, and troubled. And I don't think that any man on the street is not talking and thinking of what has transpired within a period of 2 months. So this is very troubling. Of course, I'm not going to form any conclusions, but as far as I am concerned, when you pass the threshold of a police station, you enter the police station, you then are, the police are in custody of you, care of you, and control of you. Now, what caused, now we find out that the CPO has said that he died of a heart attack. Fine. I mean, I'm going to leave it to the lawyers to delve into it. Mr. Leto Balan's lawyers to delve into it. But as far as I can, as far as I'm concerned, I would like to find out what caused that heart attack. Why? I mean, this is a man who was picked up from his workplace. He had gone to work on his motorbike. He had had his breakfast and he was picked up and taken to the police station. So he walked in fine, but came out in a body bag. So there are loads of questions that needs to be asked, and it cannot be finished with one paragraph. Oh, the autopsy says he had a heart attack and he passed away. I mean, in just one paragraph, you just answer the death of a man who walked in perfectly healthy and went out in a body bag? It doesn't make sense.
Dato, I know you're not Sivabalan's lawyer, but you know, have or representing his case, but yeah, you have been in touch with his family, and I was wondering how they're coping.
Well, I only met the mother on the day of the incident, yeah, because numerous people called me to come and Then there was, I'm working very closely with a number of people. One person is Funky Shankar. He's also, he's a one-man NGO, you know, and he takes on all these causes. So people contacted him, Shankar, and asked him to contact me and bring me to the station. Of course, the mother was very, I mean, which mother is not distraught? Can you imagine a mother having to bury her child? Now, which mother will not be distraught? How long will it take? Even till today, Ganapati's mother has not recovered. At 7 o'clock, Ganapati's mother will ask the daughter, look, is he going to come for dinner? I mean, that lady is, I mean, she's not insane. No, I mean, she's not. I mean, this trauma, Lord knows when she's going to recover from this trauma. You know, and then she's got, and we have got the might of the force that we're fighting with. So, you know, to say that a person can recover, I don't think anyone can ever recover from this trauma. I don't think even deaths that took place 5-6 years ago, the families have recovered. You know, so where do we say that when, you know, when a person can recover from this traumatic event, turn of events? Mm. So that is what we are trying to stop. And now there's a climate of fear around. Going around, you know, where the police have picked up everybody that has been talking about Ganapati's case, you know. So, I mean, and I'm left right in the center thinking, what's happening? Here you got FMT who's threatened to be sued. Then you've got Malaysia Kini who is hauled in. Why? Did they say something that is not true? Did they say something that said that's not factual? And, you know, and then there's this, then our YB Syed Siddiq, who never misrepresented anything. He stated facts. He stated facts that the public were totally aware of. He stated facts leading up to the death of Ganapati. Now, how can that cause a person to go and commit a crime? I mean, there is now obviously a climate of fear. You know, I think anyone now who is... many people now are afraid to talk about Ganapati's case because of this climate of fear that has come about. But as far as we are concerned, we are going to persevere on. We are not going to stop until we get to the bottom of it.
I wanted to touch on a few discrepancies in Siva Balan's case, and this was brought up by Klang MP Charles Santiago, who said, you know, he passed away at the Gombak police station, not at Selayang Hospital, as stated on the death certificate. His family also found that his name wasn't registered at the hospital when they arrived there, and the arrest was made over a report lodged at least 5 years ago. What are your thoughts on these claims?
Well, as far as that is concerned, I said, no, I do not like to speculate. So at the end of the day, I believe only in facts. So at the end of the day, these questions need to be answered by the person who is handling the case because, okay, we know he died from a heart attack, okay? But obviously, the pathologist will be able to estimate the time of death. So from that, we'll be able to refute we'll corroborate what the police have said. So basically, is this in all the basically as it was old saying that so the dead has got to speak. So eventually, the late Siva Balan will talk. Same way, the late Ganapati is going to talk to me. So I am going to get to the bottom of it. You know, so I do not want to speculate. So, but obviously, there is discrepancies. You know, so at the end of the day, I mean, if I may be so bold. I mean, numerous cases have gone to court where police have said, no, we have not done anything. But the courts have awarded damages to the those that died in custody. So it doesn't say it doesn't happen. And then I don't think the police are going to be in contempt of court to condemn the decision of the courts that have come through the ages. So we know it has been happening. And the courts cannot make wrong findings of fact. So we have to accept what has been happening. So now tell me then, what else can we do? We have to let the dead speak to us. So that is how we will get to the bottom of it. So just one paragraph, he died from a heart attack, that is insufficient. And I really have the utmost respect for YB Charles Santiago for coming up with this climate of fear, with FMT being threatened to be sued, Malaysia Kini being hauled up, and Siddiq being hauled up, and for YB Charles Santiago to come up with a statement, I have got the utmost respect for him.
Dato, so exactly that, right? From a legal standpoint, what are the challenges in going through a case like this when it comes to deaths in custody?
Okay, it's massive. you must understand that a lawyer has got to be streetwise. Now, he doesn't have the CPC. He doesn't have the power to summon the police. He doesn't have the power to arrest. He doesn't have the power to go and get a remand for someone who's to be questioned. So we have to use our smarts, and we have to be streetwise. So it is a massive task. Can you imagine? We are going against the might of the police force. So how are we going to get cooperation from them? They are going to stonewall us all the way. So we have to go around it. And which is what I'm doing where Ganapati is, that is concerned. So I will make sure I have all the facts. And we are streetwise. And I'm working very closely with Frankie Shankar. And also, I'm also working very closely with the, if you remember correctly, there's an article that came out from FMT. The person was arrested with Ganapati, Sridharan. He's still held in custody under POCA. Now, I'm working very closely with his lawyer, Lawyer Vinesh, who is doing also a tremendous job and is also assisting me a great deal. So at the end of the day, as I said, for all along, I've never, ever accused the police of anything. I've always said that we have to get to the bottom of it. So, and also, many have been telling, we should have an inquest. I mean, people should understand, when do you hold an inquest? When the police have come up with a finding that they are unable to classify the cause of death, or what caused the death. Now, as far as Ganapati's case is concerned, because, the late Mr. Sivabalan's case is still fresh, but as far as Ganapati's case is concerned, they've got no finding. So I'm just hoping that the DPP will not accept that the cause of death is unknown for an inquest to be held. That is when the inquest is held, when the cause of death is unknown. But here, I'm sure that we can get to the bottom of it. I mean, the OCPD said he was not assaulted. But we have got an eyewitness. It came. Thousands of people read it when lawyer Vinay spoke to his client. And the client told that Ganapati and his client was assaulted at the car park. And Ganapati was dragged on the ground. Now, this is an eyewitness. So can you imagine how brave of Sridharan to have come out with it, knowing he's still in custody, right? But yet he has come. So please tell me, what has transpired from that statement that has been made? Have the police gone and arrested those? So the only ones that could have hurt him are those that arrested him, the arresting party. So how come there's silence? So can you imagine the uphill task that lawyers are faced with? You know, as I say, it's very important for the police commission to be set up. They will have the powers to summon the police, and the police will not be able to finish it off with one paragraph. Oh, he didn't complain of assault. He was not assaulted. Oh, he died from a heart attack. We do not know what caused his heart attack. We do not know whether a person was beaten up, right? I mean, as far as we know, from time immemorial, the police have never said a person has been abused in custody, but the courts have found it so. So please tell me, how do we equate this? So can you imagine the uphill task we have? And then when we start to dig into a case, you get people, the police coming and knocking at their door. You're causing a disturbance at BY. We are trying to get to the bottom of it, and that has become a sin. We get the media reporting it. That also becomes a big an offense. So you please tell me, we not only do we have to be streetwise, we also have to be so weary whether the police are going to come knocking at our door to stop us from investigating. And as far as I can see, I think we have rattled a lot of cages. That is why Ganapati's case has attracted so much of attention with the police. And that is why they seem to be going after everybody around me that seems to be talking about Ganapati's case. Now, and another thing I would say, we have got one NGO at the entrance of Bukit Aman. At the entrance of Bukit Aman, he said that the police have abused their power where Ganapati's case is concerned. Now, for an NGO to come out with this, I mean, I myself was startled by his revelation. He stated the police have abused their power. Not all the whole police, certain police officers have abused their power. But here you've got someone who has come clearly with a statement informing. So obviously, he must have come up with this statement with credible information. So I would love for him to share that information with me. So can you imagine the uphill task? The police are not going to. Now if I go and tell the police, come on, can I have a look at your lockup? They are not going to allow me to see their lockup, but they can come and barge into your house. they can come and barge and confiscate your phone, your computer, your laptop, and they can just hammer into your house. But I cannot go and hammer into the police station where Ganapati was held. I cannot go and see whether there's a hose pipe in that police station. I cannot get access. I know there's CCTV in the police station. How come? Loads of people have told me, okay, nobody's going to record Ganapati being beaten. But one thing we'll know, the CCTV will show whether Ganapati's leg was badly hurt and whether he was treated. So how do I get access to this? You mean I'm going to go and go to the OCPD's office, knock on his door and say, Tuan, can I have access to your CCTV? Because I suspect that we got proof that Ganapati's leg was badly beaten up and they're going to stonewall me. So can you imagine the mammoth task? But if they want something, they'll come hammering at your door. Right, the police car will be in front of your house, of your office. So you please tell me now, how do we, if the police commission is not set up, this is going to keep happening because the police know they can do wonders to us, to stonewall us. So it is an uphill task. So we have to then start delving, digging, and then finding out the truth. So obviously, something I must be doing right for everybody around me to be trimmed. You know, so I feel that there's something that we are doing right. So I hope at the end of the day, when I think you will be fully aware, I offer the reward, of $10,000. Mm-hmm. So we are getting information on that. And I'm very, very happy that many a person have come up with information, but they have told me, look, Doctor, we don't want any money. We want justice, what has transpired. So please, so I'm gathering this. How? Not because I'm going and knocking down people's door. People are coming up. And because where I am concerned, I earn respect. I command respect. I want people to trust me. I earn trust. You know, and I don't force people to trust me. Neither do I terrorize people to trust me.
Absolutely.
So can you imagine? Sorry.
Not at all. Datuk Ganesh, unfortunately, we do have to stop now for the 7:30 news. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you so much.
That was lawyer Datuk K. Ganesh talking about deaths in custody. And now we're about to head to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.